You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Let me chat with Edie Stewart, always talking with me. Good morning to you, Mr. Stewart, President Stewart. How are you this morning?
Pleasant morning to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me. Great to be here this morning.
Well, we see the narrative that is being spewed in the public's domain. I love the list of demands. I don't have a problem with the demands. I think this is fair. We in 2026, you can't be functioning on 2013. You can't be doing that. That is ludicrous. All right. So I could understand that, the job security. So, but help me understand this pool. What is the nursing pool? What is this?
All right. So in a nutshell, in the 90s, and hear me well, in the 90s, there was a situation, and ironically, there still exists a situation where it is extremely short within the regional health authorities, extremely short in terms of nursing and midwifery personnel. To properly, safely, and efficiently deliver care to patients. So what the government tried to do at that time was to introduce this system called pool, where someone will sign on to a pool type arrangement, a contract, an extra duty type of arrangement, somebody who was not working in the regional health authority. They were probably working privately, or they probably have retired, or they will just have left nursing totally. And you are now trying to encourage them to come back in to the system to fill the gaps. So that was done back then. What the government tried to do is give them a rate higher than the average rate of nursing, because the salaries were extremely low at that time. So they tried to create salaries that were attractive to bring those persons back into the fold. So that was done, and they created a system where it would have been about $60, $50, $60, and that brought back in about 100 nurses back into the fold who otherwise were no longer interested in working in the regional health authority. Unfortunately, things have gotten worse since then, meaning that, yes, we would have had incremental increases over the years. Now the pool system is lower than your average salary now. So that's one. Two, the amount of shortage of nursing personnel has increased over the years because our wonderful governments over the years have expanded the number of secondary healthcare facilities, the number of primary healthcare facilities. So every time we add on all of these new hospitals and new health centers and new services, there was supposed to be a corresponding increase in the number of nursing personnel. Unfortunately, a number of the RHAs, particularly NCRHA, did not increase their staff establishment corresponding to the increases in services. So now we have a worsening problem. So let me give you a quick example. Under Eric Williams Medical Science Complex, you have a situation where their accident and emergency would require about 16 nurses to safely and properly operate the accident and emergency department. On average, on any given day, other than this weekend, on any given day you go to the accident and emergency department, you would see no more than 8 persons, no more than 8. I'm not saying you would see 8, you would not see anything more than 8. The average you would see is about 4 to 5 to 7, around there. So you never see more than 8. They don't even consider. But if you find out, and we have found out that information via FYA, Freedom of Information Access request from the very authority, how many nurses is required to operate that accident and emergency department, and they have told us 16. But how much do you have? You have less than half the persons actually working in that area. So when you spoke about that patient to staff ratio, that is the fundamental problem with what is transpiring right now, in addition to the low salaries. But that fundamental issue of having inadequate numbers of nursing and midwifery personnel is really the cause of all of this problem, including pool and all of that. So what you have in, but back to the pool issue. So pool now, salaries have slightly gone above the pool rate. So no longer person from the outside, the retired persons, the persons who work in private, what have you, no longer they are attracted to come in to the RHA to work because they can make more in the private sector. So who is working in pool? The very same nursing personnel who are attached to the RHA. It was not originally designed for that. It was really designed for persons on the outside to come in and supplement those overburdened staff in the RHA. Now you have the very same overburdened staff having to do extra duty to try to provide some measure of safe care. So that is the situation. And the only reason that you even need pool is because you don't have enough staff. So when Dr. Tim Gopiseng makes a statement that his pool bill is extremely high, it must be high because you don't have enough nurses. From the minute you begin to bring up your nurses, the need for extra duty will drop. The need for extra duty will drop. But at this time, there's no possibility, absolutely no possibility for that extra duty to drop because you don't have enough nurses. And what is worse, and I don't think he understands that. In fact, I believe he understands it, is that nursing and midwifery personnel are not paid overtime. I see people conflating overtime with pool. Overtime is a set structure within the state enterprises and indeed private, where every 4 hours you work beyond your shift, beyond your initial 8 hours, every 4 hours you work, you're supposed to get time and a half. Every 4 hours after that, you're supposed to get double time. Every single hour after that, you're supposed to get triple time. So you have a situation where nursing personnel who got stopped during this weekend and could not leave because if they left, they would have no relief. The patients would have no one.
People got dead. People got dead. Let me break. If they leave, people dead. I basically, I'm not even going and sweeten up the pot. If the nurses had walked out of the hospital, they finished work, yes, and that a wedding to go to because they off,
yes,
somebody could dead. But go ahead.
So you had a situation where there were nurses there 24 hours.
So them reached triple time payment now.
They should have reached triple time payment, but because NCRHA and a number of the other regional authorities do not pay overtime, they saved money because they will want to pay them pool, which is one flat rate, regardless of how much hours.
Madness.
You
madness.
One flat
$60
an hour.
Madness.
So
madness.
That is what.
Madness. And I thank you for explaining that because pool is like auxiliary fire officers and voluntary defense staff force personnel. Pool, to me, is very unattractive. I disagree with that. That whole pool idea back in the 90s, done away with that. Because the thing about it is you want to attract retired people to come back, people who reach the age of retirement, to come back for pool or to get a little $60, $75 an hour. I don't need, I mean, I'm grateful if you come back, but you in the minority. I want to attract younger nursing personnel, persons to come into the job. Because if you are telling me accident and emergency, no, this is accident and emergency, operating par, not on par, but way less than half the mark. You're talking about four nurses at a point in time, nothing past eight. The most you might see is seven. So you're still under the half mark of the required 16, and I think 16 is still a little bit. All right, I will think 22 nurses. This is Davy Murray. I don't know. I'm not in the profession. But if you're telling me we're functioning on five and four nurses and six nurses at any given time in accident and emergency, it's no wonder why people scrubbing bench. It's no wonder why sometimes they have an attitude because they burnt out themselves, you know? And then they appear to be doing a job that is thankless. Now, you clear up the pool. We have
let me just touch one more.
Go ahead.
So what also has happened with the pool over the years is that the association, several persons within the nursing and midwifery community have indicated, hear what? There are specialized nursing personnel who operate in ICU, trauma, dialysis. They would have gone on to uplift their educational skills development. So those persons generally are paid a specialization allowance. So all specialized areas within nursing are paid a specialization allowance. Similar to doctors. You see how doctors, when they become consultants, they actually specialize in a particular field. So doctors will, their salaries will double, basically. So then consultants like Dr. Tim Gopi Singh will be getting in the RHAs upwards of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. Nursing personnel, when they specialize, they get a whopping $420.
Madness.
$420. And on top of that, they would now also supposed to get, if they work extra duty, again, they're not entitled to overtime, they will get $75 an hour in the specialist areas. And so the $60 is supposed to be for the general areas, $75 is supposed to be specialist areas. Over the years, the RHAs have said, look, this is really, you can, how are you going to pay a specialist nurse extra duty rate the same as the general trainers? $15 difference. So they have lobbied for that $15 difference over the years, and they have brought it up. But what Dr. Tim Gopi Singh and the NCRHA is saying, we're not going to pay that $75 across the board for all specialties. There's a memo back in the 90s where the CPO indicated that only ICU and cath lab would get that 75. Everybody else, regardless of what specialty, including accident and emergency, in that trauma department, they would remain on $60. So the very same specialist nurse who gets this large $420 a month as a specialist nurse must work for the same extra duty rate as a general trainer. And that is part of the whole big announcement by Tim Gopi Singh that he's going to slash this $15 off an extra duty and it's going to save the country all of this money. You know, this is the big racket, because nurses in trauma is getting $50 extra on their overtime salary because the CPO back in the 90s didn't foresee all of these specialist areas, and he only limited to ICU
I stand in solidarity with you guys. I take a quick commercial break. When I come back, let's talk about Dr. Chatagoon's ask of nurses. Do you think it's fair and on par? We'll talk right after this. Let's take that. Good morning and welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are chatting with President of the Nursing Association, the Trinidad-Tobago National Nurses Association, President Eddie Stewart. Now, on page 5 this morning of our Guardian of the People, Medical Director, the former Medical Director and current Director of the Southwest Regional Health Authority, Dr. Anand Chatagoon, is urging nurses to reflect on compassion and duty amid an ongoing impasse between the Trinidad and Tobago National Nurses Association, the TTNNA, and the Regional Health Authority. Now, he says that he's speaking in his private capacity and as a medical practitioner and not as a representative of the board, even though he is the director. He is speaking from a personal position. And he says his comment comes as tensions escalate in the public sector, with President Eddie Stewart recently urging citizens to avoid public hospitals over the Easter weekend, citing ongoing industrial issues, staff shortages, and unresolved concerns affecting nurses. How does the association feel with the call that is being made by Dr. Anand Chatagoon this morning?
Well, first, let me just clear up some misinformation presented. I don't know if it's Dr. Chatagono or any media report, what have you, where we indicated, well, the allegation is that we indicated persons to stay away from public institutions. We advise members of the public specifically regarding institutions that fall under the purview of the NCRHG, North Central Regional Health Authority. So that is the Eric Williams, the Mount Hope Women's, and those institutions, not all public facilities. We actually advise persons to go to the other facilities as opposed to NCRHG because we saw what was transpiring. And also because we had little control in terms of what is transpiring. Because what went on over the weekend was as spontaneous as it can get. No one called for what transpired. We have to separate what the association has been lobbying for the last years, last decade, which is the salary issue and also safe staffing. That is two things we have been lobbying for. What transpired over the weekend is on Friday, nursing and midwifery personnel were shocked to be informed when they looked at their pay slips is that they were not going to receive payment for work done since February. So work completed in February that it should have been paid for in March, NCRHA has decided to withhold that that income. Shockingly, a clear violation, a clear industrial relations offense, which we would be definitely filing against the NCRHG. You telling me you work for something in February, should have been paid for it in March. What would be your mindset at that time? And that is why
So that money was supposed to be paid, it wasn't paid. So these people see that.
But totally withheld and no communication to the worker. Imagine you depending on that to pay your bills because your salary is already so low and they just don't pay it.
Yeah,
and when
you
begin to ask and inquire, then this chairman comes out, well, we auditing. And you know how long it takes
to audit.
Auditing in Trinidad and Tobago.
So could it be seen as disheartening, or I'm going to use the word disheartening, when it comes to the nursing returning to work?
Yeah.
The ask of Dr. Chatagoon, that ask that he's asking nurses.
Let me deal with that frontally. So most likely, majority of nursing and midwifery personnel will be returning today. It's not going to resolve the issue totally because you still have an issue with you don't have enough staff. And the authority, there's a policy which is stating that you cannot work more than a certain number of extra duty hours, which would always be broken because you don't have enough staff. So if you are working for the month, they're saying you shouldn't work more than 80 hours extra duty. But you are so short-staffed that if you don't work that more than 80 hours extra duty, then we'll be in the same position with which went on over the weekend, where you don't have enough staff, or you just, that is the fundamental point. And if the Minister of Health, and I have to bring the silent Dr. Lakram Bodo into this discussion, there's a paper before him which the entire nursing and midwifery community, the entire internationally, regionally, have chimed on and give their input on to develop and implement a patient-to-staff ratio, a safe patient-to-staff ratio. It is something that the U.S. just did the other day. There were individual states in the U.S., the Californias and whatnot, who had a mandatory safe-to-staff, patient-to-staff ratio. But now the entire U.S. have implemented this because they realize administrators will try to shortchange and save money by not hiring enough nursing personnel, so they had to bring in a standard, a standard that everyone can know. Do you need 16 or 20 or 22 nurses in an A&E, or you need four? No, every nurse ought to have no more than four patients, or four to five patients, and not 24 patients as what goes on in NCRHG. So all of that is happening, and specifically to Dr. Chatigun, we would like to. It is the Achilles heel of nursing personnel, where over the years we were not able to acquire the salary increases comparable to other healthcare practitioners or to other professionals across the board, because that Achilles heel has always been used against us. Nursing is caring, you have to show compassion and whatnot. And I want to know how much of this compassion we can accumulate and bottle and carry to the grocery. How much of this compassion and ethics and all of that can we bottle and carry to our landlord or to our babysitter who's charging us extra money when we cannot pick up our child because there's no staff to relieve us? How much, if somebody could tell us how to bottle it and sell it and exchange it for goods and services, it will be good for us. And again, I want to ask Dr. Chatigun, when the doctors were protesting in South, because he's from Southwest, when the doctors were protesting and they were demanding to be allowed to negotiate without recognized majority union status, MPAT, back then, and he would be familiar with them. Doctors underwent tremendous protests. They wore black, like I am wearing black now, because we're in protest mood. They were prepared to resign en masse. In fact, some of them had already started resigning because they were no longer going to allow PSA to negotiate on their behalf. They were demanding that MPAT negotiates for doctors going forward. And despite they didn't have the legal authority to negotiate for doctors, they demanded it. And they were doing dramatic things. If some odd persons just have to go back in social media and on newspapers, and you will see the type of action doctors they took to press home and get the salaries that they currently enjoy. So at some point, we have to begin to think about ourselves at some point, because that excuse, that Achilles heel, that pressure, that, hey, you're in the caring profession, don't study yourself, study the patients, that will always be used against nursing and people.
Let's talk a little bit, and I want it to be as graphic as possible with the next question I'm going to ask you, because persons are of the opinion that some of these nurses, they don't perform their duties well. I said it this morning, and I stand by it. Public servants, on a whole, and I am broad brushing everything now, right? People get a sense of, here's what's happening. I am coming to you. I see it is steward by the counter, but I timid to talk to you, because if I talk to you, that you could perceive an aggression, because I'm urgent in my matter and I want it addressed. Well, a little upset because I was supposed to get this payment, or this was supposed to happen, it didn't happen. So I'm a little upset and I come to you. It's as though you, the public servant, doing me a favor if you attend to me. So I come in the hospital, I want to talk to the nurse in the triage or somebody, just sit down and wait there. And you see the attitude of nurses in health centers. I saw it already. I was doing the overdrive in the afternoon, and I went to a particular health center in the east, and I sat down there with my son. And then I went to another health center right by, I went to Aruka Health Center, and then I went to the health center by Mount Hope, by the bus route there. And I observed both nursing facilities, both medical facilities, and I observed the way the nurses or the medical personnel there dealing with members of the public, and they seem annoyed. A person sitting down for 2 hours. I was there 3 hours plus. So a person for 2 hours and something asked a question. Oh, gosh, boy, how long again I have to wait, ma'am? Look how long I sit down here. And it's as though the nurse didn't care, boy. So when persons see these things, you know, get graphic in what the nurses have to deal with when they're dealing with patients. Brutal. Be brutal.
All right. So one is to first begin. We have to separate the issue. Meaning, when one goes to an Eastern Regional Health Authority facility or Tobago Regional Health Authority facility, I am saying you're going to experience a different level of service compared to facilities under the big three, Northwest, North Central, and Southwest. And the fundamental problem, the fundamental difference between the two is staffing. If you are overburdened, if you are saturated with work, if you have to deal with, for instance, that accidental emergency department. I'll just keep using that as an example. How many patients do you believe goes through the accident and emergency department of Eric Williams on a daily basis compared to a facility under Tobago or Eastern? Chalk and cheese. NCRHA would see four times the amount of patients on any given day compared to Scarborough General Hospital and Sandy Grandy Hospital. Four times. And here's the kicker. If you pull the roster of how many nurses are on duty, you would see four times the nurses in Scarborough and in Sandy Grandy Hospital compared to the amount of nurses at Eric Williams. So when you place persons in this scenario, I really would like the greatest, the most ethical, the most humble, the most pleasant person you have ever met in your life, Davy, and place them in that type of environment where you are constantly overworked, where you are constantly underpaid, where you are Your job is not permanent, even though it ought to be, where you don't have the resources and you're on the phone with your colleague in Port of Spain General Hospital to tell them, hey, send up some Inco pads because the patient's urine is falling on the ground, and send it up with the ambulance because we don't have any Inco pads. You're liaising with a colleague in Eastern Regional Health Authority. Hey, when you're coming on, bring down some syringes, because we only have 10 mil syringes. We don't have any 3 mil syringe. Or you lazy with your colleague in San Fernando. Hey, send down some needles. You don't have the correct side needles. And this is an ongoing. So all you focus on is just trying to get through the day and trying to deliver care. It's not, unfortunately, it's not going to be the compassionate care that persons would expect in these particular areas, because the overwhelming pressures that are on you, you're just going to be as regimented as possible to get through the day.
I'm running out of time, but when I say get brutally graphic, I want you to tell me, when a nurse is on the ward, what are some of the things they have to do? Do the job function? What do they have to perform? What are the duties?
Well, besides the duties that they were taught to perform, you also have to remember the nurse have to do other people's job, and people don't understand that, especially after 4 o'clock. You have to be the attendant. You have to be the ward's maid. You have to be the hospital administrator. You have to be the muscle if a patient is acting up. If a patient is going through a psychotic episode, you have to hold on that patient.
What do you mean after four?
And you also have to deal with the relative.
After 4 in the afternoon.
Majority of the staff leaves.
So there's not a shift system in place where you have persons coming in, ward attendants, males, or person with muscle, as you say, to assist during the night shift and things like that. 4 o'clock, all the muscle gone,
and they will revert to the A&E area. And if needed, they will come up to the ward. But during the day, you may have one or two on you.
Madness. So who, so who cleans the vomit when the patient and the feces of patients?
The nurse.
There you go.
Whether it's on the patient or on the floor, is the nurse have to do that.
Outside of administering medication, an injection, medication, tablets, treating.
Yes.
That are clean.
And interpreting the doctor's orders and liaising with the consultant who is in his private practice, and you have to be liaising with them even though they're on call, but they're not going to come back to the hospital because they're focusing on their private patients. So
you have certain people on call, but because they're in the private capacity, they're not returning.
They're not returning.
Stay with me. You know what? I have to wrap the interview. I'm out of time. Yeah. But thank you for sharing the concerns. We will chat again during the course of this week as we get closer and closer. I want to talk to you again on Thursday, just before the Easter holiday. All right? That's before Good Friday. We'll take a break. Thank you very much.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.